This is the Crime Story Podcast with Carrie Antholis, where stories of crime and justice are told. On today's podcast, we continue our new crime story series, Inside the Robe. Catherine Mader spent two decades as a judge in Los Angeles Criminal Court before retiring early in 2020. In August of last year, Judge Mader published Inside the Robe, a judge's candid tale of criminal justice in America, which best-selling author Michael Connelly called, quote, a perfect book, engrossing and telling at the same time, end quote. The judges granted Crime Story permission to excerpt the entirety of her book over the coming months. In part 13 of Inside the Robe, Judge Mader explores the power dynamics between prosecutors and compassionate judges. You can find this excerpt in written form at crimestory.com.
January 19th. This morning, I dealt with a sea of mentally ill and drug-addicted defendants. They are referred to as dual diagnosis because they have two issues, mental illness and drug addiction. We don't have a lot of places to put dual diagnosis defendants. Often, they are homeless and live on the streets. They can be difficult personalities in court. They've self-medicated with illegal substances such as methamphetamine or cocaine. After they're locked up in the largest mental institution in the world, the Los Angeles County Jail, they stabilize because they're given the correct psych meds. Prisoners are usually released with not enough medicine to keep them stable. Without the ability to get more meds, the mental health of defendants quickly deteriorates, resulting in a return to custody. Often, they ask to represent themselves in court. Judges are mostly required to let them do so, even if they are difficult. It's a bad idea for defendants to represent themselves because they have no legal training. They will be pitted against experienced prosecutors, and they will make rookie mistakes. For example, in a robbery trial, a defendant representing himself claimed he wasn't there. But in cross-examining the victim, the defendant asked, "Well, how did you know it was me if I was wearing a mask?" One defendant this morning, a college graduate, was addicted to heroin and was attending a methadone program. While seeking heroin, he allegedly threatened a storekeeper with a box cutter. The storekeeper confronted him after noticing the defendant taking several bundles of razor blades, presumably to sell on the streets. The well-spoken defendant said, "No way do I want to plead to a felony of robbery. I have no criminal record. If I have a conviction for robbery, I will never be able to get a decent job. As a heroin addict, I was desperate for money to buy heroin. I didn't mean to hurt anyone." The heroin addict was right about how impossible it is to get a job with a conviction for robbery. At the same time, threatening a stranger with a box cutter unless he gets money fits the definition of a classic robbery. As a judge, I can't change the charge. I also can't blame the DA for being concerned about community safety. There is a difference between a judge's power, called judicial power, and a prosecutor's power, called executive power. In some cases, I can step in and tell a defendant that if he, quote, pleads to the sheet, unquote, meaning pleads guilty to everything he's charged with, I will give a more lenient sentence than the prosecutor will offer. This takes the decision on what to do with the defendant out of the hands of a prosecutor. The power to take an open plea, in which a defendant pleads to everything, makes smoke issue from prosecutors' ears. For that reason, it's exercised rarely by judges. I have a dear judge friend who took many open pleas. The head prosecutor got so furious that he prevented his deputies from going to that judge. Without prosecutors coming to his courtroom, this judge had no work to do. My friend had to leave criminal law and transfer to civil. He's prospering there, but the criminal bench on both sides lost a brilliant and compassionate judge. This illustrates the dilemma for judges when prosecutors file motions to disqualify them. Many judges, with bravado, assert that it doesn't bother them a bit. "Knock yourself out," one judge said to a prosecutor who threatened that if the judge kept making certain types of decisions, his office would take him out, quote unquote. Judges who say they don't care can exhibit false bravado. Many of us are in assignments that took years to attain. If the prosecutor's office takes us out, we could be assigned to a less desirable courthouse or even an assignment other than criminal law. It's a powerful weapon, the threat of blanket disqualification. And while a war with the judge is ongoing, no one knows how it will end.
That concludes part 13 of Inside the Robe by Catherine Mader. For more storytelling news and narrative analysis from the world of crime and justice, head on over to crimestory.com. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next Crime Story podcast.